Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. As we start in Daniel chapter 10, 11 and 12, it's the last vision that Daniel has that's recorded here in the book. And chapter 10 is how Daniel's getting prepared for the vision that happens mainly in chapter 11. And some commentators says there's nothing to preach on in chapter 10. There's nothing to say, and others to say, well, that's not true. You need to preach the whole word of God. And so we're going to go to it. And there is a theme that kind of has developed in chapter 10 that a lot of commentators have picked up on. And I think it does us well to look at it as well. So as we have examined the life of Daniel, we have seen some things. And we're going to see some things here, starting with chapter 10. And let's go ahead and read the entire chapter. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lift up mine eyes and look, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. His eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of the words, and when I heard the voice of the words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? And for as me straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee which is noted in the scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me these things but Michael, your prince. Our Father, we come to your word and we ask for understanding. We ask for illumination. We pray for the Spirit of God to shine a light upon his word, that we might understand it, that there might be something here for us to take, that we might apply it to our lives. And Lord, we pray that we might be strengthened as Daniel was strengthened. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have titled this message, The Strengthening Hand of God. The Strengthening Hand of God. As we have examined the life of Daniel, we have seen that he has lived a life of faithfulness. We have seen that he has experienced incredible things. Now, as an old man, only a few years away from his death, there is even more for him to experience. The first group of exiles had now returned to Jerusalem, proving that God was making good on his promises. And meanwhile, as a result of his prayers, Daniel received a vision about a great conflict that was going on. And Daniel became overwhelmed, and Daniel became drained, but God strengthened him. And as we look at the text, we ask the question, how does God strengthen his prayer warriors? The first thing we notice here in verse 1, that God strengthens his people by letting them know that the battle is the Lord's. Daniel has laid down a marker. It's approximately 536 BC. It's the third year of the reign of Cyrus, the king of Persia. And God reveals a vision to Daniel because the word came from God. It was true. And the content of the vision is to be about a great conflict. You say, where do you get that? Well, if you look in your Bible, it says here that the time appointed was long. It can also be translated as a great conflict. But there is a conflict in receiving an answer to his prayer. Also, it refers to the stress that Daniel would experience in receiving the vision. God takes the initiative to reveal himself, to reveal his word to his treasured servant. God took the initiative to give the vision, but Daniel had a responsibility to respond to what was given. Daniel had an understanding of the message, and he understood the vision. Verse 12 informs us that his understanding came in response to his steadfast, to his passionate, to his humble prayers to God. He set his heart to understand, and God honored him with understanding. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." See, Daniel sought the Lord, and the Lord responded. Our God is present. He is not silent. We should be exceedingly thankful that we serve and we worship a talking God. He is not silent. Now here's the problem. The troubles in Judah were ultimately rooted in Satan's hatred for the Jewish people and his hatred for God's temple program. See, Ephesians 6:12 reminds us, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy is real. The battle is real. But the battle is the Lord's. We are not left on our own. Do you realize you enter into a spiritual conflict every time you pray? It's like, I'm not in a spiritual battle. If you're not in a spiritual battle, then do you pray? Because every time you pray, you have entered into a spiritual battle. And there is a battle going on here in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel was praying for his people. There is conflict going on. The people are going back to Jerusalem, but it's not a bed of roses. There is problems back there. People do not want that city rebuilt. People do not want the temple rebuilt. The people have gone back to do that, but they face opposition. There is a battle. Daniel cannot go with them, more than likely because Daniel's too old. But Daniel can pray, and Daniel is praying. He resorted to fasting and prayer, and he was fighting on his knees. We need to be aware that the battle is the Lord's. And God strengthens his people by letting them know that the battle is the Lord's. But second, God strengthens his people through prayer and fasting. Daniel knew he served a God who listens to the prayers of his beloved children. And once more, we find Daniel on his knees, pleading with the Heavenly Father. In verse 4, it says, in those days. Oh, it's in those days is it's clarified in verse 4. Verse 2 says in those days. And verse 4 clarifies it. It's around the time of the Passover. It's around the time of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Ezra 1 through 4 provides additional insights. Cyrus has issued a decree allowing the Jews to return to the home of Israel in Jerusalem. And unfortunately, the number was small. The opposition rose almost immediately to these rebuilding programs. Daniel wasn't there. He remained in Babylon. But nevertheless, he heard the reports from his homeland. His heart was heavy. So he went into mourning for 3 weeks, it says here in Scripture. He went into mourning for 3 weeks. He chose not to anoint himself with body oils that would refresh his skin in dry climate and take care of some body odor. He didn't eat food. Now, we don't know if he did this publicly or he did this privately. The Scripture doesn't say. But we know that God heard his prayer. God saw his humility. And verse 12 is fascinating. Because first God heard Daniel's prayer. The moment Daniel prayed, he heard the prayer. And the moment he prayed, he sent the answer. Because Daniel had humbled himself in the sight of God. He knew that God was in control. He knew that God was sovereign. He knew he had nowhere else to turn to. He knew that God was sovereign, but he also knew that prayer makes a difference. He might not be able to explain the mysterious networking of divine sovereignty and human responsibility, but he knew it was real. Corey Ten Boom says this, "We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in his plan for the answer. If we are true intercessors, we must be ready to take part in God's work on behalf of the people for whom we pray." Another commentator by the name of D. Duke wrote this, "Almost everyone believes that prayer is important. But there's a difference between believing that prayer is important and believing it is essential. Essential means there are things that will not happen without prayer. Daniel believed prayer was essential. He was convinced certain things would not happen if he was not on his knees in humble intercession before his God. When discouragement comes our way, we can let such things defeat us. We can let them goad us onto kneeling at the throne of grace, where we bow before the living God. Either we can ignore God or we can go to God. Prayer and fasting are not the only vehicle to fight the battle, but it's also the means by which God strengthens and comforts his people. Now, prayer and fasting. Fasting means going without food. We understand that. There's some health benefits to it accordingly. But I seriously believe whenever you see prayer and fasting in Scripture, when you see fasting, there's no food, but it means because there is intensification of prayer. There's prayer and there's prayer and fasting. Intensification of prayer. Now you think, oh, I don't know if I can go without food. Because if I go without food, I'm going to think about food. I'm going to dream about food. But think of it this way. Have you ever been so busy in a project that you forgot to eat? Think of it that way. You're so busy in prayer, you forget to eat. Or you don't take time to eat because you're so focused on prayer. Don't be focused on not eating. Because if you're focused on not eating, you're going to eat. And you're going to think about eating. And you're going to be praying about eating. But there's intensity. He sees there's a problem, and he intensifies it. For 3 weeks, he's not eating. For three weeks, he is praying and fasting. Not only because it's the vehicle by which God is going to answer, it's the vehicle by which God is going to do something on behalf of Daniel and his people, but it's also the means by which God strengthens his people. It's the means by God's going to comfort his people. The scripture says, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. In the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, there's a couple of these lines. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I know that's true of me. There are times when I'm like, oh, why is this going this way? And it's like there's a little tap on my shoulder. You know what to do. And then we go around like, you know what to do. Yeah, you know what to do. Like, okay. So then I pray and like, see, you know what to do. All that pain, all that worry, all that whatever you've been carrying around, it all left you as soon as you got down and prayed. See, we say prayer is important, but do we see prayer as essential? See, in the morning, you get up, you have your cereal and your essential 8 minerals and vitamins. Maybe it's 9 now. Is prayer your 10th? It's 10th. Do we pray? Do we pray? So God strengthens his people through prayer and fasting. God strengthens his people by letting them know that the battle is the Lord. Here's the hardest part of this passage, and it comes this way. We're talking about demons in this next passage of Scripture, verses 4 through 17. And we could focus on the demons, and at first I kind of did, and then I went back and changed my outline a little bit. And I think this is what it's trying to teach us. That God strengthens his people with the fact that he is greater. That he is greater. So as we read these verses in 4 through 17, and the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Adullam. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes and lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision for men that were with me. But a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Before I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. My comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of the words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in deep sleep, and my face toward the ground. I'm going to stop right there. Because here, at this part of it, before we even get more into the demons, he has a vision. He's drained of strength, but Daniel looks up and sees a majestic figure who is described in detail in verses 5 and 6. The description of this man is similar to the exalted and glorified Lord Jesus Christ as described in Revelation chapter 1. So this is probably a Christophany. A Christophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God. And he is reminding Daniel that Jesus is greater, that Messiah is greater, that he is the ultimate victor. Now, this vision is so overwhelming to Daniel and to those who are with him. Evidently, Daniel was some people. Daniel saw the vision, but only Daniel saw the vision. The other people just heard the vision, but just hearing it was enough to make them go run and hide. And so Daniel's left alone. He's undone by this vision. He's wiped out. He's drained physically of all his strength. hearing the word of the vision finished him off. He fell into a deep sleep. Leon Duncan says, in the Bible, intimacy with God always leaves its mark. But then we move on. Daniel is awakened. Verse 10. An angel comes to him, raises him to his hands and his knees. He receives words of encouragement. He receives words of insight. He's told that he is a man treasured by God. The angel tells him not to be afraid. Have you ever noticed that every time an angel shows up, they say, do not be afraid? So evidently, we would be afraid if they didn't say, do not be afraid. The angel tells him not to be afraid because from the very first day that Daniel began to pray, the angel was commissioned to come with an answer to Daniel. God saw his humble heart. God heard his words of mourning. God heard his words of intercession. And God dispatched his servant angel with an answer. However, a problem came up. As the angel is being dispensed with the message, the answer, a demon who is called the prince of the kingdom of Persia got in the way. And he delayed the answer's arrival for 21 days. And then this angel called him back up. And Michael was sent. And they wrestled him together and got the answer came to Daniel. And they understand what will happen to his people in the latter days, the last days. Events that precede the coming of God's kingdom. And the message from the angel is clearly going to be eschatological. It's going to be future. And Daniel can't get a handle on it. Daniel's speechless. He can't even respond to what he has heard. And the angel touches him again, and he can speak, but do nothing more. Pain has come to him. Strength has left him. He can barely breathe. He has done all that he can. And even though demonic forces tried to thwart the answer to Daniel's prayer, they did not succeed. He has said all that he can. Because God and his forces are greater. There's a few things we learn from this passage about we can't answer them all. We don't know how it all works out, but here's some things that we notice by just observing that angels and demons do exist. They both exist. Angels and demons engage one another in spiritual combat. Evidently, certain demons and probably certain angels are given particular geographical and governmental assignments. He was named as the Prince of Persia. And our prayers in some genuine measure enter into and affect the battles being fought. There's another thing I think we see about Daniel's prayer here. Daniel prayed and God sent the answer immediately. It took him 21 days before he got the answer because Satan and his minions, the demons, interrupted it. To which I think we need to take a response here. Because we know that God always answers prayer. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is I got something better for you. But notice this. So what? How Daniel didn't hear an answer. I think we can take from that silence isn't an answer. Keep praying until you get an answer. Keep praying until you get an answer. Silence wasn't the answer. He could have said, oh, I'm not hearing anything from God, so I guess it's a no. It wasn't a no. It's on its way. Somehow it's got jammed up. Maybe demons are behind our postal system. I don't know. Because the answer doesn't always get through, does it? Some of you who experience mail being delayed are relating to that, right? So demons are there to thwart the answer. They can't change the answer. They only can delay the answer. But God is greater. 1 John 4:4 tells us, and we need to be reminded of this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, we may be tend to ignore that there's a spiritual world out there because we can't see it, we can't touch it, we don't. But we kind of know there is, but we kind of ignore it. We don't really go full throttle into it, nor should we think we should go full throttle into some things here. But we do need to remember there is one. But that's not to discourage us, but to be encouraged, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan and angels are only created beings. God created them. God's in control. God's sovereign. So we need to turn our eyes and turn our focus to Christ to find our strength in him. So God strengthens his people by letting them know that the battle is the Lord's. God strengthens his people through prayer and fasting. God strengthens his people with the fact that he is greater. And God strengthens his people with spiritual refreshment. Let's look at verse 18 to 21. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, to the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me these things but Michael your prince. When it comes to spiritual warfare and the discipline of prayer, Chuck Swindoll makes five insightful observations. First, believers' prayers are immediately heard by God. Two, demonic forces can delay answers to prayer. Let me just pause there for a second. Just because you didn't get an answer doesn't mean a demon's at work. All right? The scripture does say sometimes you ask amiss to consume it upon your lusts thereof. So it's not always because a demon did it. Okay? There's no Flip Wilson involved here. The devil made me do it. All right? See, oh, that's the older generation reference. Okay. Three, wrestling in prayer is exhausting work. Wrestling in prayer is exhausting work. Prayer is work. It's exhausting. One, maybe it's just to salve my conscience why our prayer meetings have a lower attendance than our morning Sunday service or our evening service. And it's because we work in prayer. And people don't want to come work in prayer. We work in prayer. We pray. It's work. We are entering the spiritual realm. We are entering into the spiritual realm. And that takes work. And wrestling in prayer is exhausting work. Following wearisome times in prayer, strength returns in extra measure. Sometimes we can't explain it, but we know it. We've experienced that. Overcoming demonic forces is not a once and for all matter. Just because you were victorious here doesn't mean it's done. Even Jesus in his temptation, Satan came to him repeatedly. He left, he came back. He left, he came back. He left, he came back. So spiritual warfare is not for the weak of heart. Spiritual warfare is not for the weak in faith. Even spiritual giants like Daniel can be overcome, can be overwhelmed, but because they're loved by God, help is sent, and their energy is renewed. He tells them here, be strong. And Daniel says, I've been strengthened. There are several, and if we take Daniel 10 as a whole, has significant applications for the prayer life of a believer. First, we notice that Daniel's prayer set off a great deal of angelic warfare. Now, you think, well, how in the world would I set off angelic warfare when I pray? Have you prayed for the soul of a loved one? That would be angelic warfare, wouldn't it? Satan doesn't want that person saved. answered prayer is always not directly from God to the praying believer. Well, it is directly from God. It doesn't come directly, or it doesn't come immediately, or it doesn't come, maybe this was a British author, straight away. The process involves the angelic realm. We must practice the principle of indiscouragable persistence. I like that word. My spell checker did not. Indiscouragable persistence. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Daniel was old, but still a praying saint. Even a feeble old man on his knees in prayer is a threat to the demonic realm. If you're old and you think, what can I do? You can pray. You're a threat. And Daniel was esteemed because he was given the prayer. Daniel was chosen all along. Daniel was esteemed for many reasons. But I think as we look through Daniel from chapter 1 through chapter 12, we do see that this is a man of prayer. And God valued him because he was a man of prayer. So God strengthens his people by letting them know that the battle was the Lord's. God strengthens his people through prayer and fasting. God strengthens his people by letting them know that he is greater. And God strengthens his people with spiritual refreshment. Prayer is work. Don't be discouraged by it. Don't be disheartened by it. But the reality of it, it's work. It's exhausting work. But how flippantly do we go into it, not thinking that? But prayer is work. Prayer is exhausting work. But prayer is rewarding work. In prayer, God draws near to his people. He hears them. He answers them. He battles for them. He strengthens them. And it's time for God's people to pray. I close with these words from the Apostle Paul. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's a little difficult passage we had here in Daniel. As we talk about prayer, as we talk about spiritual warfare. But we are thankful that you are greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So, Father, help us to continue to pray. Help us to find that even though it is work, and it is exhausting work, and it is battling work, that you refresh your people who pray. You refresh them. You remind them that the battle's not theirs, but it's the Lord's. You refresh them and encourage them in prayer, in the process of prayer and fasting, and that you are greater. So I don't know how each person in this room needed to hear this message or how they heard this message. But I pray that we have a commitment to continue praying, that we have a commitment to pray, to battle on our knees. Whatever discouragements we're fighting, that we go to God in prayer and be encouraged. Whatever stresses of life, that we go to prayer. Whatever spiritual warfare we're experiencing in our life, that we go to prayer, and that we stand in prayer.